Welcome to the Final Siren podcast. We're back for another year, and today for the first edition, we've got an exciting installment in the making to mark the return of men's pathway football. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and today we'll break down all you need to know about the brand new Coates Talent League season. To do so, I'm joined by AFL draft editor, Michael Alvaro. How are you today, mate?
Very good, Pete. Thanks for having me. Pretty keen to, I guess, get stuck into all things Coates Talent League. That's going to take some getting used to, but, there's new things on the horizon and plenty of good prospects to talk about. So let's do it.
Absolutely. Plenty to talk about. For those who don't know, if you're listening for the Girls Talent League, that'll be over on GameSense. The boys will be here. So make sure you listen to both if you're keen on that. What we're going to do, we're just going to run through each of the teams after we've sort of discussed a few things leading into the season, because, of course, we've chatted to all the coaches at the preseason testing day, and then we're going to give a few predictions at the end. So plenty to get through. We're going to kick it off with sort of the preseason. Obviously, there's been quite a bit of talk around players either injured or coming back, and a lot new coaches as well. So I guess give us a bit of rundown, first off, into some of the injuries or return from injury players that are on the draft radar.
Yeah, so I think the story of the preseason, of course, has been the injury of Nate Caddy. I guess in the respect that we're talking about the story of the preseason. So he's, of course, had a chip in his fibula, so a broken leg essentially, and he'll be out for about 4 weeks to start the season. So that's a pretty unfortunate one for him and Northern, and George Stevens as well, a GWV Rebels prospect. He's coming back from an ACL, had a successful hit out, I believe, against Bendigo. Don't quote me on that, might be wrong. But yeah, he's come back pretty unscathed and looks raring to go. He's an absolute unit. So looking forward to seeing him back on the track.
Yeah, absolutely. Looked like a beast at the testing day there. Moving on from, the injuries, we're going to take a look at the coaches. Now, we know that they're split full-time between the girls and boys. Previously, for those that didn't know, they had the same coach for both leagues, but both are now going the full distance, if you like. So in many ways, just give us a bit of a rundown into who some of the new coaches are and what we can expect this year.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of what we can expect, I think there's been a lot of really high-level coaching appointments and quality people have been either around the pathway or around elite systems. So a lot of the regions, from what they tell me at least, are going to look to play fast footy, a bit like at the top level where they try to move the ball on as quickly as possible, play an attractive brand and try to, I guess, showcase all of the players' strengths. That's a lot of what the messaging has been throughout pre-season, and also on individual development. So again, those personal strengths, all those key individual development areas, and having a singular coach or head coach for each program across the boys and the girls makes that, a lot more possible. So it's a massive positive for the pathway. We've had heaps of new coaches. I mean, Lauren Moorcross, a standout from Eastern, the first woman to take over a boys program. We've got Anthony Rocker, a former Northern Knights graduate and a legend in the AFL space. He's coming in to the Knights. And over at Oakley, they still don't really have a coach. So it's going to be interesting for a few of the regions to see how they go. I think a lot of the stability has been in the country programs, and how that, I guess, translates to their performance remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see all the new coaches and, of course, for the playing group to adapt those coaches, different playing styles and how it all goes. In terms of, just before we get stuck into the teams, we'll take a look at the draft itself. Obviously, there's a lot of quality talents. You've mentioned a couple that are either injured or coming back from injury. We're going to run through a bit more detail through each team. But as a broad overview, what do you sort of think of this year's draft crop and particularly those within that talent league?
Yeah, I mean, the talent league's got some of the best prospects, as is always the case throughout each draft, but especially coming off last year where both Metro and Country made, I guess, the final of the national championships, there's still a lot of carryover of those prospects into this year and some really strong talent. I think the draft in a more general sense has been touted as somewhat of a super draft, so there's going to be a lot of really good kids to watch and the key part of that is that they are good to watch. You know, there's a lot of excitement machines, a lot of, you know, players who can take higher marks, can take ground and kick really good goals. So it's going to be a fun season, I feel. And there's a lot of prospects who are going to catch the eye of, you know, even the most casual sort of watchers around the nation.
Yeah, and of course, as you know, that's a very good lead into our first team, Bendigo Pioneers. And I guess their star prospect, the player that even if you're not even really a casual viewer, it's hard to have avoided this kid's name in Harley Reid. Obviously, every player just about knows him. Give us a bit of a rundown into him and obviously the Pioneers as a whole and who some of the other players are to watch.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Harley Reid is essentially the consensus number one choice at this very early stage. He's put together just such an accomplished junior career thus far. He's played, you know, since he was an under 16 in the under 18 Bendigo Pioneers program and under coach Danny O'Bree. He's really prospered, played across each line last year. We're expecting him to be more of that mid forward where his sort of flair and contested ball winning acumen shines. He's got guys like Malik Gordon who will support him. He's a similarly explosive sort of type. He's coming back from injury though, same as Charlie Hillier. They've got Ollie Poole who's come back in good nick. And I think speaking to Danny O'Bree, what he's really excited about is their bottom ages. So, you know, they've even amongst that group got Glenn Gilby, who apparently is a bit of a carbon copy of his brother Jason, who of course was drafted to DWS and is the famed milk boy in the AFL. So they're looking pretty good, the Pioneers. They've got some overagers to come back to, guys like Eli Pierce, Michael Kiraly, Charlie Barnett. So Mitch Dodos as well is another one to watch. He's been impressive through preseason. So yeah, they're shaping up, coming off, you know, a historic finals appearance as perhaps a region to watch.
Yeah, and last season, obviously, they finished in that finals for the first time in two decades, basically. Can they do it again is the real question. Do they have a list that is comparable to last year? Do you think it's stronger or are they in the mix for that final spot?
I think they're in the mix for finals. It's probably not as strong a list as last year. They had a few guys, of course, move on to the AFL draft or through the AFL draft to the elite system. And I think what you'll see is those younger players coming through and gaining that experience for them to be a stable contender for the next couple of seasons. So I think they are a contender for finals. Why not when you've got a kid like Harley Reid in the team? But yeah, I think I genuinely have a lot of belief in this side, especially under Danny O'Bree.
Yeah, and moving on from Bendigo to Calder Cannons. Now, obviously, we know they've got quite a few NGA prospects, even father-son prospect coming through, always linked with Essendon, but of course, they got a Bulldogs one this year. Give us a bit of a rundown into them and some of the players that are worth keeping an eye on this year.
Yeah, this is another region where they have a few sort of excitement machines. They tend to have a lot of really good smaller players, like crafty running smalls, guys who are really good accumulators around the ball or smart around goal. So you see a bottom major called Isaac Kako. He's an electric small forward who can even play in the midfield. He's a bottom major, of course, with guys like Nash King, Jaden Newen, Damon Hollow. They all made the under 16 Metro squad last year. So they're going to come in with some really good experience. You mentioned the Western Bulldogs father son. That's Jordan Croft, a key forward who could be pretty much anything. He's got really good range, pretty nice athleticism and mobility. They've also got Mahmoud Taha and Amin Naim. They can play across sort of half forward, kick goals, but also potentially move up the ground. And then coming back for another season, Rye Penny. Of course, he was a star at preseason testing, played Metro late in the year last year. They've got Declan Wilmore, who's going to be a bit of a leader in that squad, and Matt Foley as well, who's, of course, one of those Essendon NGAs, you know, one of many who's going to look to star in the squad.
And then moving on from them to the unlucky team, I guess you'll want to say, in Dandenong Stingrays. They reached the grand final in both the boys and the girls. Didn't quite get it there. They're going to be one of the contenders, I feel, this year again. They've got so many Vic Country Hub members, obviously led by AFL Academy member Cooper Simpson, obviously mid-forward, really talent, co-captaining this year. Give us a bit of a rundown to him, obviously. But they've also got a lot of depth there too.
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on in the sense that they're going to be contenders again. You know, a lot of those guys like Cooper Simpson and his co-captain, Harry DiMattia, they had a wealth of experience last year as bottom majors to get that side to the grand final. And, you know, they fell short, but they're going to be better for it. So even guys like Sam Frangalis, who like Simpson's going to be that sort of mid-forward rotational piece. They've got Kay De La Rue, Kobe Shipp off halfbacks, a really good sort of Hayden Young type of player. They've even got Riak Andrew. He's 193 centimetres, the brother of Mac, of course, an exciting prospect to watch who had his bottom age year, I guess, ruined by injury. And then you look at the depth in their sort of overage section. Ziggy Toledo's coming back. They've got a kid called Josiah Nanup, who's just come into the program. He's one to watch. And a guy like Billy Wilson could even push for country selection. He's a top ager who missed out on that. But yeah, again, could be in the frame. So definitely a lot of depth in that Stingray squad. They'll be one to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got quite a bit of talent across the board. Nick Cox, just touching on him, obviously, incredible season last year, came second across everything he coached effectively, whether it was senior or assistant. One of our favourites, obviously, he's a really good guy. What do you sort of think it'll mean for him particularly? Because we talk about the different coaches and splitting those tasks, him to be able to just focus on the boys program, considering he managed to get both programs to grand finals.
Yeah, I mean, it could work wonders. This is the beauty of you know, splitting those roles again. It just allows the kids and the coaches to form better relationships. And, you know, that's going to hopefully show out on the field where they can, you know, have that connection with each other, you know, learn and understand the game plan a bit better. And Nick Cox has been a longtime coach of that region, so he knows it well. He knows all the players well. He's not a new one coming in. So he's experienced. And I guess having been to the last game of the season twice just last year, he's even going to be better for it in his preparation of the players and not just the players themselves.
Yeah, Dandenong are an exciting team, obviously, as we'll see, one of the ones to beat, I think, this year. And going from Dandenong over to Eastern, who, of course, have had a completely new coach change. A lot of these have, but particularly Eastern, they've had a new coach change. They've also got one of the most exciting players in this year's draft. Probably early doors last year was the number one favourite. Started the season like a house on fire, and he's still in thereabouts, but obviously height will always be a question mark. So obviously I'll get you to sort of tell us a bit about Nick Watson, but then some of the other players that are running around for Rangers.
Yeah, so obviously Nick Watson's an absolute star. They call him the Wizard, and he does some magical things inside 50. I think we'll see him perhaps play a little higher up the ground this year. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a full-time mid, but, you know, we know he's so good inside 50, but he's good on the lead, really quick off the mark. So we'd love to see him, I guess, play as a high half forward, you know, just get a bit of experience running up the ground, using a bit of that running capacity, because we know he's already so good close to goal. And he is pretty decent around the ball at stoppages in midfield too. So hopefully we see a bit of that. Of course, they've got guys like Cam Nyko and Caleb Windsor, who are really good runners on the outside. I think we'll see Windsor out on a wing and Nyko off half back. And then up forward, they've got a couple of tools. Braden LaPlanche, who's a co-captain, is one of them. They've got Riley Wetherill as well. So Lauren Moorcroft, their coach, who you alluded to before, yeah, she's pretty high on both of those tall forwards. And hopefully the style that they bring as a team is to get the ball quickly inside 50 and make sure that those two marking targets get plenty of service.
Yeah, and heading down the highway there to Geelong over the other side of the bay, they've got a lot of young kids that have come through that I think last year was a lot about potentially introducing them to that league and just adapting them to the style of play to help them, I guess, be better used to it this year. And obviously they don't have a Jai Clark type that is far and away, you know, a standout prospect, top 10 pick type thing. They've got a more balanced list this year. Is that fair to say? And some of the players involved there?
Yeah, I mean, Geelong, they had a great draft haul last year. And obviously the local factor with the Cats has a lot to do with that. That's not to say the talent wasn't there. Of course, they produced some really good players. But that could be the case again, where there's guys like Paddy Hughes, Michael Rudd, Angus Hastie, who have really picked up some good bottom age experience. And they're going to take charge of the team this year. So You know, Geelong with Paul Corrigan, of course, as their coach, you know, a long-standing coach, and the Vic Country coach as well. They're always going to be in a really good position to be competitive. I think you'll see that again this season. They've also, of course, you know, touching on the local ties, got a couple of father sons coming through. They've got another Riccardi in the younger age categories. Jagger Mooney's an under 16 as well, the son of Cam. And David Wojcinski's son is a bottom ager in the under 18s program. So plenty, I guess, club tie players to watch there for the Cats, who, yeah, a lot of fans that we're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and from one side of the state to the other, we have Gippsland Power, who potentially have two top 10 picks on their hands. And it's not often that those top 10 picks are, I guess, family ties, if you like, not eligible to clubs, but they do have those family ties, and one being really tall, one being reasonable, but one being really tall. Give us a bit of a rundown into those two players and perhaps how they compare to their older brothers.
Yeah, of course, you're talking about Zane Dersmer and Archer Reid. Definitely in the top 10 frame, both of them, and they're outstanding prospects, probably or possibly even better than their older brothers, and in the case of Zane Dersmer, his sister as well. So I'll start with Zane, obviously a bit of a medium forward in his bottom age and underage seasons, but you know, whereas he was sort of that pinch-hitting midfielder who was just such a natural forward in those seasons, he's going to be more of a permanent midfielder who rests forward this year. So watch out for that. He's a really clean clearance winner, super classy, of course. He's around 190 centimetres, so has plenty of points of difference. And Archer Reid is a 200 centimetre plus key forward who, I guess, sort of plays at the opposite end of the ground to his brothers. Zach is at Essendon, and his brother Kyle went through the program at Gippsland as well. He's another really mobile type who has good skills. He's super clean below his knees, and he's definitely going to be one to watch. Both of them, according to Rhett McLennan, the coach, is, you know, they've been standouts throughout preseason, haven't missed a session. So they're going to be, of course, the ones to watch. It's a pretty even balance for the list as well. They've got about a third of the squad being those bottom ages. They've got five overages. Among them, Liam Sarong, of course, another brother of. He trained with Fremantle during preseason, missed out on a spot there, but they've also got Harvey Howe, the power, who's a ruck. He's going to have another go at it and see if he can play in a couple of different positions and put his hand up for the mid-season draft.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of talent out at Gippsland, and we do love to see it because they're always a competitive team. And we know when they've got a bit of top-end talent to go with it, then they can definitely go deep in finals. We know they all work for each other. So it's really exciting to see what they can produce this year. Sticking in the country theme, we're going to move up to the GWV Rebels. We have touched on George Stevens already, but obviously he's a key player realistically for the Rebels. He's going to be their star. And they've got a couple of other tools that are coming through and family ties as well. So a bit of a balanced list again.
Yeah, they're always competitive, the Rebels. I think that's what you can expect. You know, Gippsland plays a certain way. The Rebels do as well, where they're just really good competitors and quite consistent week in, week out. They've obviously got the draftables like George Stevens, as you mentioned. They've got Luaman Luel, who is a Western Bulldogs Next Generation Academy member. He cut his teeth off halfback and was a star for the Rebels last season. He's got a good bit of athleticism, uses the ball really well. He's quite composed down back. So he's one to watch for sure. Might not even end up at the Bulldogs, depending on how much talent he shows. You mentioned Nick Cadman, who's the brother of Aaron. He's coming through as a top ager. They've got Felix Fogarty, who was, I guess, a fold to Aaron Cadman last year. He can play essentially on each third as a tall. So it'll be interesting to see where he fits in. And I think a bottom ager to watch from the Rebels is Sam Lawlor, or Lawler, depending on how you say it. He's coming back from a groin injury during preseason, but he's definitely one to watch. He was a standout for Vic Country's under 16s last year. So he's a hard at it, contested ball midfielder who should be one to watch.
And from the Rebels over to the Bush Rangers, they had quite a few good youngsters last year that sort of popped up and supported the overages. We know they've always got overages and sort of, I guess, add that extra strength to the midfield. They're always competitive, as is kind of a theme with the country regions. But they've got a couple in the National Academy, obviously Darcy Wilson, Connor O'Sullivan. So a bit of a word on them and how you sort of feel they'll go this year.
Yeah, the Bushies, you know, they come from, I guess, all sorts of regions, of course, even over the border into New South Wales, like is the case with Conor O'Sullivan. And they're a little bit like Gippsland in the sense that they've got that tall in the National Academy, along with a really versatile sort of mid forward in Darcy Wilson. So Darcy's obviously the son of Mick Wilson, the talent operations lead at the Bush Rangers. And, you know, he's not just there on name value. He's quite a player, really skilled and quite a smooth mover, both on the inside and outside, can kick goals as well. O'Sullivan, of course, has really good range, can play at either end of the ground, and he'll represent the Allies hopefully this season. You've got guys like Jove Cooper as well, who could get into the country mix. And then a couple of good bottom ages like Ollie Warburton and Joe Berry, who played some representative football at under 16s level. They've also got a couple of brothers of, for Adelaide Crows fans, they've got Lucas Rochelli and Rory Parnell, who their brothers, of course, are playing for the Crows at the moment. Josh Rochelli, definitely one of the stars of the future, and Paddy Parnell's a little pocket rocket. So hopefully another couple there for the Bushies.
Yeah, and the end of the country teams, or the Victorian country teams anyway, moving into the Metro contingent, or a lot of them. Northern Knights, we mentioned Nate Caddy, he's injured. The other star tall, if you like, Will Green, who showed a bit last year, not quite as, I guess, developed as Caddy or ready-made as Caddy, but he just showed a lot of signs, particularly around the ground as that tall. So he's obviously one to watch. And then from what we saw at the under 16s championships, they've got a stack of players in there that potentially are going to be really, really impressive over the next couple of seasons.
Absolutely. Obviously, as you touch on, Nate Caddy and Will Green are probably the standouts. Green being that ruck who's just, you know, he's over 200 centimetres and has already got some good talent league experience under his belt. They've also got Christian Mardini, who played in the Vic Metro under 16s a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, he's coming off an ACL injury, so he's going to be back at it. And we can see potentially what kind of talent he has. But on those sort of 16s from last year's, the bottom ages this year, guys like Lucas McInerney, Zach Johnson, Ty Kitchell, even Jesse Dettoli, they've got a lot of talent. And they'll probably take on, I guess, greater roles this year and hopefully set themselves up for big top age seasons. Of course, they've got a new coach in Anthony Rocker, Pebbles. He was a Northern Knights graduate himself. And hopefully they have another father-son to Richmond in Charlie Naish, who is the brother of Patrick, of course, who ended up at West Coast. And yeah, you know, he obviously got through the pathway.
Yeah, and from the Northern Knights to two teams, I guess, coming up. We'll start with the Oakley Chargers, two teams that are always successful and got plenty of depth. The Chargers, they've kind of got a new operations lead. They're going to have a new coach soon. They've got quite a bit of top-end talent, quite a bit of young talent as well. Obviously, Finn O'Sullivan's one to watch for the future, won the MVP at the under-16s level. But obviously, some of the ones that have come through Metro, give us a bit of a rundown into your top picks for Oakley and some of the ones that are looking up to be potentially drafted this year.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting region because they've got so much change happening. Of course, Alex Davey stepping into Jai Bond's role as the talent operations lead. They don't yet really have a full-time coach. So, yeah, at least in the boys system. So, you know, how their game plan sort of works from the start of the season to the end is going to be really interesting. We know that they have all the changes with private school football as well. So we'll see how they go, but there's definitely talent there. They've got Nathan Phillip-Tides, of course, who's co-captaining with Kynan Brown, the latter of whom is a Melbourne father-son prospect. Finn O'Sullivan, who you mentioned, he's going to be in the leadership group too, along with Ollie Badir. So Ollie's going to be a running halfback along with Nathan Phillip-Tides. Will Lorenz has also been tried off halfback. We know that he can run through midfield as well. There's some more talent in that top age category, guys like Will Lamott, Boston Dowling and Harvey Thomas, who has come from the GWS Academy. Obviously, he's just a really crafty small midfielder who can also roll forward. So he's got super skills, he's one to watch. And then even in the overage category, you've got Will Putris, who's new to the program. He's a really powerful, strong forward. Luke Teal's coming back and Will Elliott as well. So there's a lot of players to watch, even in the bottom age category, Caleb Nancarro, Taj McCarthy. So they're going to be strong. We know that. It's just about how they're going to adapt to, I guess, new systems, new coaches, new talent leads, and I guess how those disruptions are going to affect their on-field capabilities.
And I guess for Nankara too, for those who don't know, obviously was in Queensland with the Suns Academy, sort of got that link. We know that does happen. Like, kids obviously come to Victoria where they go to private school, or they just choose to come here because they thought they'll try and compete in this talent league. For him, I guess, what does it mean to sort of get that, I guess, added strength with his competition, being able to come up against the best Victorians week in, week out, rather than, say, a few games like a lot of his, say, Gold Coast Suns teammates?
It's going to be really good for him because he can play as much football as possible, and especially considering he's that tall, you know, a key position forward slash ruck, being able to play as much football as possible at high levels is going to be really beneficial for his development. He's a really exciting type. We know he's a super athlete. He jumps high, he can mark, and he kicks goals too. So it's going to be good for him. And even a guy like Harvey Thomas, who comes down from the Giants Academy, you know, we've seen Paddy Voss come through and get drafted, you know, through a similar method. So it's going to be exciting for those two to see how they develop, and definitely a tick for them to come and test themselves against what essentially is the best pathway program in the nation.
Yeah. And moving from one that is, I guess, the best pathway in the nation to one of the best teams as well in that pathway is the Sandringham Dragons, reigning premiers, always have a strong team. We know they had those three top 10 picks last year that have already made their debuts. That's just how strong it is. Harry Sheasel's already won a rising star in round one off a ridiculous performance for North Melbourne. How do they sort of live up to that? Where do you sort of weigh them this year versus last year? I know Rob Harding, the coach, obviously sort of mentioned that perhaps they're a bit more balanced rather than, or a bit more deep rather than having those top end talents, but they obviously still have those top end talents. How do you sort of rate them?
Yeah, they've got the makings of a back-to-back premiership side, to be honest. They're going to be strong. We know that every year with, I guess, the talent that they have across the board. And it's really exciting that they've got a deep list again. You know, it seems to happen every year where they're in contention to break double digits in terms of their draftees. And this might be a year where, you know, they don't really have, I guess, a Will Ashcroft and a Harry Sheasel, but they've got a really good spread of draft prospects. And, you know, a diverse array of talent. Of course, you know, under Rob Harding, they've got Will Brown, who's going to captain. He's, you know, a massive big-bodied midfielder at about 193 centimetres. So he's captaining the side. Harvey Johnson is his deputy. Archie Roberts and Riley Sanders, they're the National Academy members who have also taken on leadership roles. So plenty of players to watch there. They've got Harry Sullivan, who, a bit like Caleb Nankara, he's from the Suns Academy. Will Nish is tied to St Kilda's NGA. They've got a couple of brothers of. So Vigo Vizentini, of course, brother of the Port Adelaide ruck, and Levi Ashcroft, the brother of Will, who is going to be Brisbane father-son eligible again. So there's so many players who I could add to that list. It goes on and on. There's going to be surprises, like kids who pop up out of nowhere and develop at a good rate of knots. But yeah, they're going to be quite strong once again. I can tell you that for free.
And I know it's early doors, but the Brisbane fans will be screaming, saying, what's the difference, I guess, between Levi and Will? He's obviously got another year and a bit to go. But just quickly, what do you sort of see as early doors, the differences, perhaps strengths, improvements, that kind of thing?
Yeah, they're actually not too dissimilar. I think Levi's probably got that different string to his bow where he can play off half forward as well. He's a really good pressure player. He works quite hard. His endurance is, you know, really high end, considering, I mean, he performed well at preseason testing and, you know, he played a lot forward during the under 16 national carnival last year. So they are quite similar players. They're going to win a lot of the ball. Levi has already, you know, shown that in Sandringham colours and played alongside his brother. So they're going to have another beauty. He might not reach the heights of Will, but he's going to be right up there for sure.
Yeah, and from Sandringham to a team that also impressed last season, they did make it through to the final four. Tassie Devils are the one side that's full-time outside Victoria. They've got another couple of really good prospects for the National Academy. We obviously saw Lockie Cowan as that star last season, but they also had a bit of depth to them at the end. So moving into 2023, how do you sort of see the Devils shaping up?
Yeah, really well. I think, you know, they're such a well-run program under Jez Webberly, who, of course, moves into that lone coaching role with the boys this year. He did a great job with both the boys and girls last year, as you mentioned. And, you know, their top prospects are obviously Colby McKercher, who could sort of jump into that top 10 or 15 range. He's a really smooth and quick midfielder with really slick left foot kicking. And Jack Callanan, the son of Ian, he's not father-son eligible for Adelaide, but he's a draft prospect who's that sort of small forward slash midfielder. Probably like to see him develop more in the front half and showcase his goal sense and whatnot. So he's going to be a pretty crafty player. They've also got Ari Schoenmaker down back, who might, I guess, follow suit from Lockie Cowan in the sense that he's that really long penetrative kicker, if I can get that word out. He's a good intercept marker. He's just sort of working on that running capacity, ability to compete. They've also got a kid called Tom Beaumont, who's that mid forward, a really solid inside ball winner. And Oliver DiPaoli Cubank is their bottom major to watch among a few. They, I believe, took out the under 16 Div 2, if you like, carnival. So, yeah, they're going to have a few bottom majors who come into the squad and make an impact for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting year for those in the Apple Isle. We know our occasional co-host of very podcast, Liam Badkin, will be watching on with very keen interest there, a bit of bias. But we'll move on to the final team in the Coates Talent League this year, the Western Jets. We know Logan Morris had a brilliant bottom age year, if you like, really impressive up forward. He leads them out, but they've also got a bunch of other prospects have sort of come through the program. How do you sort of see the Jets this year?
Yeah, they're going to be pretty handy again, I think. Obviously, they were quite competitive under Robbie Chancellor, who took them, you know, into that wildcard round and first week of finals. And you know, in the girls, they won the premiership, obviously. So Trent Dennis-Lane has got some pretty big shoes to fill in that department. And as you mentioned, Logan Morris is their most outstanding top-age talent. But they've got a few more to watch. So Alex Sia is a really exciting small forward who is going to play a bit more midfield time this year. He's got electric skills. He probably doesn't win a lot of the ball, but makes an impact when he has it. Jake Smith's going to be that big-bodied accumulator on the inside. And Darcy Weeks is another top-ager who's going to be one to watch. They've also got Diesel Maloney, who, along with Logan Morris, is going to be a front-runner for the captaincy. And of course, looking at their overagers who they tend to bring a lot back of, they've got Javon Petrich, who played Metro last year, Jackson McMenamin, who's also a tall forward. He comes back as well. He's a bit more raw than Petrich, but he's got plenty of talent. And Harrison Miller is another in the small department. He's injured at the moment, but he'll come in after about a month, hopefully, and make an impact. And Luke Williams, the talent operation lead, tells me that Rook Barry, a kid with a basketball background, he's a bit of a newcomer to watch who's going to focus on his footy and hopefully make an impact for the Jets this year.
Yeah, hopefully they can have a good season. We obviously know they finished pretty well last year. So that's all the teams done and dusted. What we're going to look now before we finish is just have a look at round one, see what the matchups are, and then get some predictions from you. So round one, there's plenty to come and watch. There's doubleheaders galore. So we'll start with the first one at Highgate Recreation Reserve at an early 9:45 on Saturday. It's between the Northern Knights and the Giants Academy. Michael, who are you sort of tipping in this one?
Yeah, it's great to see my home region get a bit of spotlight in the Northern Knights, of course, and kick off the season at Highgate Recreation Reserve. I think, like they did last year against the Swans Academy, they'll have a really strong start here. The Giants are going to be quite a good competitive squad, depending on who they have access to, of course, in these early games. Harvey Thomas is arguably their standout prospect. They've got Luke Lawrence coming back, who's looking to take on a leadership role. Charlie McCormack's an interesting one to watch as a key forward. So there's a bit of talent there, but the Knights, of course, even without Nate Caddy, they're usually, I guess, competitive and strong across the ground. They usually have a lot of pretty handy smaller to medium players, but they've also got that tall depth too. So let's see how that one goes, but I'm going to take the Knights in this one.
And the second game at Highgate Recreation Reserve, or I should say the third, is a girls game in between for those who want to really see a whole day of footy action. But Western Jets up against the Swans Academy. So we're seeing both the New South Wales Northern Academies playing on the Saturday. So the Jets against the Swans, who are you looking at?
Yeah, I reckon the Jets will take this one out just purely on their evenness of top age talent. The Swans certainly, as we've seen in drafts gone by, have that top end talent. So Lockie Cabor and Caden Cleary are their AFL Academy members, and they're quite exciting, explosive kind of players. And they've got great speed to break the game open. They've got Christian Webster as well as a tall. Indy Kirk's a father-son to watch. So there's a bit of talent there. But I think the Jets probably might have a bit too much, and Logan Morris hopefully will kick a bag and get them over the line.
And down at RSEA Park at 11:30 a.m., the Sandringham Dragons take on the Eastern Rangers, which is as good as it gets for round one. I think this is going to be a really good game. Obviously, the Dragons at home down there, and they have great facilities. Which way are you leaning for this one?
Yeah, this is pretty much game of the round. I mean, we're used to having the Sandy versus Oakley sort of rivalry to open the season, but this is just as good, at least this year. I'd really love for the Rangers to get up, but Sandringham's so strong and on their home deck, they know the conditions well. It does make a difference. And I think they'll just get over the line here against a really strong Rangers side, who I think will do some good things this season.
And the fourth game on Saturday is up at Mars Stadium, GWV Rebels versus the Bendigo Pioneers. A good old country clash. These two often face off very early in the season, if not round one. So which country region are you leaning towards?
I think just purely because they're facing off in round one, it's a little easier to side with GWV. Bendigo is typically a region that improves as the year goes on. Whereas GWV under David Loader, they're typically quite even throughout, quite consistent. Obviously, with Bendigo and their satellites, you know, it's hard for them to all come together and train and, you know, get that sort of cohesion. They do have the talent, though. It's just a matter of whether they'll be perhaps a little underdone with guys outside of Harley Reid, of course. So I reckon the Rebels will get up in this one.
Yeah, and from Saturday onto Sunday, we've got Geelong Falcons up against Dandenong Stingrays. Another should be a competitive game all the way out in Colac for those out in the southwest of Victoria. Which way are you going for this one?
It's really hard to look past Dandenong. I think they're the premier country region this year, and they'll get to at least prove that straight off the bat against Geelong. So Geelong's always a well-structured team under Paul Corrigan. They're going to compete. So it's a good test for the Stingrays. But they've got plenty of top-end talent. I think that's going to really shine out in Colac. They're going to take the victory here for me.
Yeah, and the second game on Sunday, we'll move to Morwell, where Gippsland Power hosts Murray Bush Rangers. That's from midday, so a couple of games at midday, but that's the standalone one out at Morwell. What way are you going to look for that one?
Yeah, this is another one. I guess they did play off in round one last year too, and it's going to be a tight sort of battle. I reckon Gippsland gets up just on their sort of X factor, their star power. I know they've got two AFL Academy members each, but Zane Dersma, I reckon, is going to set this one alight. He's got Archer Reid up forward, and it's quite a strong sort of unit across the board for the Power. So I reckon they're going to take this one out on their home deck too.
Yeah, and moving into the doubleheader at Highgate, the second one, which of course is the two games after the earlier girls game, which ironically is Gippsland Power playing at Highgate when the boys are playing out at Morwell. But nonetheless, we digress. The first game at Highgate is Oakley versus Lions Academy. These are the two Queensland ones coming in. So the Chargers, we know they're always strong. They're up against the Lions first go. We know Lions will enjoy that, going against one of the stronger regions. So are you going to lean with the home side in this one?
Yeah, I think I will. And it's going to be a tough test for Oakley. Obviously, we mentioned a few of the changes and perhaps a bit of the instability around the region with what's happened and their lead into the season. But, you know, the talent's there, particularly in the first month of the season. They're going to have to take advantage of having, I guess, all their stock available to them. And, you know, despite going down to Sandringham, a really strong Sandringham unit in their preseason, they'll probably be a bit too much for the Lions Academy this time out. And it's a bit of a steadier start for the Chargers compared to taking on the Dragons, as is usual in round one. So, yeah, I reckon they'll get up here.
And the final game of the round is one that perhaps doesn't have the wraps of the Dragons Rangers, but for me, this could potentially be another game of the round in terms of tightness, just in my opinion anyway. Calder Cannons up against the Suns Academy in the second game of the boys at Highgate, 2:30 p.m.
Yeah, this is going to be a really good one. And I promise I'm not picking on the academies because I don't think I've tipped one yet, but I reckon the Suns will get up in this one. And that's saying something because Calder looks like a pretty decent squad too. But the Suns, of course, they've got three AFL Academy members, Jed Walter and Ethan Reed are the talls. And then they've got Jake Rogers, who's a really nifty small too. But their depth is quite good, especially for a Northern Academy. Usually we see that sort of top end is quite strong and maybe they're sort of competitive across the board, but the bottom end lacks. But I think the Suns are quite good and arguably the best academy this year. So I'm really excited to see how they fare. And I think they might shock the Cannons on their home deck on Sunday.
That's rather annoying because the only reason I wasn't tipping was I was just going to agree with you the whole time. And I thought you might pick Calder to finally say I'm picking the Suns. But yeah, unfortunately, for all those who love a point of difference, it's not happening here. Although I will say that probably the biggest threats, Giants Academy might be a threat against the Knights. We'll see how it goes. I think the Pios are always a risk, particularly at Bar Stadium after their big win. We know Eastern are a quality side, but as you said, Sandy too strong. And I think Geelong out in their region are always a really competitive outfit, so Dandenong can't take them lightly. And otherwise, I think, yeah, the Suns and Calder look to be the big game of the weekend that could be really close. So I agree with all the tips, unfortunately, for anyone who wanted a bit of difference. But we're going to move into the predictions now. So, Michael, give us your – I will start with Premier. Give us your Premier for the competition. Who are you tipping this year?
Yeah, this is, I guess, sort of laden in hope more than anything. It's going to be Dandenong. They do have a really strong side again and they're going to contend. But after seeing Nick Cox lead the girls and the boys to a grand final in each competition last year, hopefully they can get over the line and take out a flag this year. And, you know, Craig Black was the one to break that sort of runners up curse for the Stingrays. And yeah, just maybe that'll happen again in 2023.
Yeah, you've taken on my persona for the tipping. I say every year I try and go for the Stingrays and get them up. You've gone for the Stingrays this year, gone away from the Metro. So it'd be interesting to see whether they can do that. Now, the runner-up in the grand final, which way are you looking for that one?
Yeah, this is a really tough one. I think there were two Metro regions who I really wanted to put in this slot, but I've gone with Sandringham just because they're a proven product. We know that they're going to have a lot of carryover from last year's premiership team, and if they don't win the flag this year again, they're going to be, you know, thereabouts, and they tend to sort of gel and come together really well at the right time of the year, and I think that'll happen again this year, so they'll be right up there for sure.
And I can see you sort of wanting to mention a few others that are potentially in the mix. So who are some of the other teams that are going to perhaps be in that top four range or push into that final if they get the right draw?
Yeah, I reckon Eastern was probably the other team that's right in the grand final mix. They've arguably got one of the strongest teams or squads that they've had in a long time. Of course, they made the 2019 grand final, but this year's a little different because I think they've got the draftable talent as well, you know, on top of just, you know, that evenness across the ground. So they're going to be quite competitive. I reckon they're one to watch for flag contention. Oakley's always really strong and, you know, they might not have a Nick Dacos or you know, a Jamari Ugelhagen this year, but they're going to be right up there. And Gippsland as well, I think they'll be quite strong in terms of the other country regions. There's, of course, you know, Calder could be right up there as well. Yeah, like there's going to be a lot of teams that are contending and hopefully coming good at the right time of the season. So hopefully we're going to get a really exciting and even kind of season.
You don't want to upset anyone at this stage of the season, better name them all. From the teams to the individuals, we're going to start with the Morrish medal and then the leading goal kicker. So who do you sort of see as the ones that might be the front runners to win those awards?
Yeah, for the Morrish medal, I'm going to go with Nathan Phillip-Tides. So obviously out of Oakley, we touched on him before. We saw Lockie Cowan last year take out the Morrish medal alongside an inside midfielder in Taj Campbell-Farrell. But Cowan was a running halfback, and Phillip Tides as co-captain of the Chargers is going to be much the same, and he's going to be available for most of the year for them too, obviously being out of school. So I reckon he's going to be right up there and one to watch for the Morrish medal.
And the leading goal kicker?
Yeah, Logan Morris I've got. So he's going to be that spearhead for Western. And of course, Javan Petrich is really good support for him, but he's also tied to Collingwood's VFL club. So yeah, I reckon Logan Morris, again, he's going to kick bags of goals. And I didn't mention Tassie in the, I guess, you know, that sort of, premier runner-up or third contention, but they'll be, thereabouts. And Jack Hallinan is a potential leading goal kicker from that region too.
Yeah, I was going to potentially suggest he might be the one I'd go for because they tend to get a few goals on the board. We saw how successful their smalls have gone over the years. So going to be exciting. As for a Morrish, I can't help but feel they might give it to Harley Reid, regardless of how many games he gets in, because we know he's probably getting best on most weeks. And he probably has to do less than others to get those votes, I feel. Like, obviously, it's not necessarily less, but in terms of numbers. So it's going to be an exciting time in terms of the other predictions.
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious choice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Obviously, then unfortunately, things like injuries or say perhaps they're having a rest for whatever reason, they've got a big schedule. It's going to be a good time. But we saw a draw last year too, of course, as you alluded to, a couple of players winning it. In terms of the predictions, look, I go Danny Nong every year. I feel like my thunder's stolen a bit here. But I do agree. I think they and Sandringham are probably the two teams to beat. I probably had Gippy in third. And then, yeah, pretty similar to yours. I think Tassie joining with Oakley and Eastern, it's a pretty even bunch. I feel like this is a pretty even season. Like last year, we had Oakley and Sandy, and then there was perhaps a little gap. But yeah, I feel like it's very even this year. So it's going to be an exciting time. Obviously, it all starts this weekend. Make sure you get out there. First game, 9:45 a.m., Highgate Recreation Reserve in Craigieburn. If you want to go see Michael there, or if you want to travel up to Mars Stadium like I am, that's at 3:30 for the Rebels and Pioneers. So plenty of footy on offer. They'll all be streamed too, so make sure you check them out. But that's all we have time for today on the episode for Final Siren Podcast. It's great to be back for 2023. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Absolute pleasure to be here as always, and very much am looking forward to watching some more football this weekend.
It's good to be back for the boys' footy in Victoria. So make sure you stay tuned to Rookie Me Central for all the analysis and fallout from round one, and of course, coverage from across the pathway programs around the country. Give us a follow at Rookie Me Central, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Keep up to date with everything. Make sure you're checking us out. Spotify, any other device you're listening from. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to catch you again next week.